when man and woman were formed in God's own image. Long after the great flood, when God set the rainbow and the clouds as a sign of the covenant. 21 centuries from the time of Abraham and Sarah. 13 centuries after Moses led God's people to freedom. 11 centuries from the time of Ruth and the Judges. 1,000 years from the anointing of David as king. In the 65th week, as Daniel's prophecy takes note, in the 752nd year from the founding of the city of Rome, the 42nd year of the reign of Octavius Augustus, in the 6th age of the world, all earth being at peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God, Son of the eternal Father, willing to hallow the world by his coming in mercy, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. Today is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh. And so there is joy in the world this day, for today our King was born, and today our King is born anew in each of us who celebrate and worship him. Today is a day of abiding peace for Christians around the world. For on this morning when we woke up, our hearts were singing glad tidings of great joy, that our Savior chose to live among us in order to die for us and for our sins. This day is a marvel of God's love. Like the shepherds tending their sheep, we are filled with wonder that God would choose to come among us, dwell with us in the lowly form of a child, that God would make himself small and helpless so that we might be saved. The shepherds were filled with wonder and joy, and when they heard the good news, they decided to go see for themselves, and so they left their fields, and for their troubles, they found a Savior. The shepherds took a risk of leaving their flocks, of appearing to be gullible, and went to claim the joy and the wonder for themselves in finding that at last the Messiah had come. We too take a risk on this day in claiming the Messiah's birth as our own joy. As Christians, we are called to see the Christ child, yes, swaddled in the manger. But we are also called to see Christ still among us, still dwelling with us in our very lives right now. We are called to see the infant King and to strive to know the risen King in the now, in our hearts and in our lives. We will know him most clearly in those around us, in the world that he so loves, in the lives of those that we love, and in the struggle of those that we don't. We will know him more intimately in the silence of our own hearts, in the waking hours of our own lives before all our busyness has claimed priority. We will know him in the time that we spend on our knees or on a park bench or even standing very still staring out at God's creation. We will know him as we open our hearts to the silence and listen. Listen, listen for the angels' voices, telling us not to fear, for the child born this day was born for us. We can celebrate this most joyously in community, as the gathered body of Christ, as the family that we are as Christians and Episcopalians and members of St. John's. And while this day we celebrate the birthing of Christ into the world, and we welcome him anew into our hearts, we are, in fact, always celebrating Easter, because it is his living among us and dying for us that makes his birth of interest to the world 2,000 plus years later. It is his resurrection and ascension that he was born into this world to accomplish. So soon, when we gather around our table today, it will be with awe and wonder that God would love us enough to be born among us. Let us make indwelling life of the Son of God. God's ultimate purpose, he writes, is that his Son might be exhibited in me. Well, that's a fearsome charge, isn't it? But we are ready. Just as the shepherds tending their flocks on a dark and ordinary night were ready. I'd like to share with you a piece by Max Licata entitled The Meek Were Kneeling. It is about the shepherds who were tending their flocks on that dark and ordinary night, who heard the good news first. It is a piece that caused me to really think about why the shepherds were visited by the angels, why they're a part of this story at all. But of course, when you think about it, they are the perfect witnesses for the birth of God's Son, the only ones who might be humble enough to look at a newborn child and see instead God's Lamb, sent to save the world. Hear the words of Licata. Blessed are the meek, Jesus explained. Blessed are the available. Blessed are the conduits, the tunnels, the tools. That's why the announcement went first to the shepherds. They didn't ask God if he was sure he knew what he was doing. Had the angels gone to theologians, they would have first consulted their commentaries. Had they gone to the elite, they would have looked around to see if anyone was watching. Had they gone to the successful, they would have first looked at their calendars. So the angels went to the shepherds, men who didn't have a reputation to protect, or an axe to grind, or a ladder to climb. Men who didn't know enough to tell God that angels don't sing to sheep and that messiahs aren't found wrapped in rags and sleeping in a feed trough. A small cathedral outside Bethlehem marks the supposed birthplace of Jesus, and behind a high altar in the church is a cave, a little cavern lit by silver lamps. You can enter the main edifice and admire the ancient church. You can also enter the quiet cave where a star is embedded on the floor to recognize the birth of a king. There is one stipulation, however, you have to stoop. The door is so low that you can't go in standing up. The same is true of Christ. You can see the world standing tall, but to witness the Savior, you must get down on your knees. So while the theologians were sleeping, and the elite were dreaming, and the successful were snoring,